XFM 104.9, kicking off there with the Dandy Warhol, Steve.
Sure.
Ricky Gervais Show, with me, Steve Merchant.
Well, they always let me say that.
Well, oh, I thought you were...
What?
Well, it's 1:05, isn't it?
Already an error has occurred.
Yeah.
It's a shame,
yeah.
It could have been slick.
But, Steve, we've got some great music. I've been on a bit of a soul tip this week,
are
to be
you?
Honest. Yeah, I was a bit of a folky last week, but, you know, you got stuff from, like, you know, early Bowie, some Stevie Wonder.
Sure.
A little bit of Groove Armada. We've got the classics. We've got Coldplay. We've got Blur. We've got Ash.
Sure.
We haven't planned anything for the show.
Got nothing, have you? You're
just reading the list of songs that
thinking
I might
that
play.
Will fill up some time.
Oh, no.
Anything interesting happened to you over the week? Nope.
No, I just swore off air, and Carl went, never swear in an on-air studio.
I love it when Carl tries to sound like he's professional and understands the business.
Yeah.
You don't fool us, Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could buy like a Carl, you know, like those Garfields you can stick on a car window.
Oh yeah.
I reckon we should be able to get a car like that we could send out as a gift to people.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't
it? Just this little face pressed up against the glass, like a window licker.
Yeah. Like you'd have to lick his face to stick it there.
Yeah, that'd be a joy.
Oh, bless him. Or one of those things you throw out a window and it sort of like flaps down. They sell them for a quid.
Yeah, exactly. Or those little dancing
baby pigeons. That's what we used to use. Or frogs from the pond.
Sure.
That's cruelty to animals. And I don't condone that. And it was a joke before the RSPCA phone in and say, stop throwing frogs at windows.
Well, people who are listening.
I don't mean the French, by the way. That sounds like xenophobic before. Someone calls in and says, stop throwing French people at windows.
Yeah.
So I'm digging myself into a hole here, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's all gone horribly.
Quick, mention the Germans and then this guy.
Yeah. I don't mind the Germans.
No, good.
Carl.
I was just saying, I wonder if people know what Carl looks like in the wide world. Is there any reason why they should have you ever featured on anything? Or
he's like Moby. He looks like Moby.
He does look like Moby. Yeah. That's what he does.
Does that help?
Is that a compliment?
Sort of a Moby who's.
Mank.
Had a bit of a tough paper round when he was younger.
Yeah, that's
he looked
right.
A bit more knackered than Moby.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. See, I think Moby's great. He's one of those people that every opens his mouth, I sort of, oh, I'd love to be mates with him. He talks sense, he's interesting, he's lovely. I don't like his records. Mm. There's nothing I can do about that. If I ever become top mates with him, and after about a few years of us, like, driving around and having a party, I'll go, Moby, I've never liked anything you've ever done.
Mm. Is that what you do with your mates? Just drive round? What are you, 16?
Never.
Go to a car park and just do handbrakes.
Never. I haven't done that since I was like 17 when like it was great to sort of someone had a car.
You couldn't believe that you were just moving.
Yeah. I remember once, right, my mate, Bob, had a car and there was me and another friend in it and we were young, about 18, and he did a U-turn when he shouldn't and this motorbike hit him. And came off, and the music it was turning music down. It was really, really bad, right? And he was there, and he was really worried. And the motorbike bloke was dazed, and he went, "You okay? I'm really sorry." And the bloke said, "Yeah." And I put my head out the window and went, "Sorry about that, mate. That's the third one today." And this man, I just looked at him, and he went, "No, don't do that, Gervais. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? I just thought it'd be funny. I didn't really understand the severity of this."
Have I told on the radio before about that time when I just passed my test and I was driving my parents' Volvo Estate? And we went off driving down some country lanes. Have I mentioned this?
Yeah.
I've told you, have I?
Yeah.
Have I told you, Carl?
No, go on.
Well, maybe I'll tell you a bit later.
Oh, let's play a record.
There's
a great anecdote about a Volvo Estate coming up.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff you're getting on XFM this Saturday afternoon.
Do you want some Coldplay or what?
Oh, I'd love to.
Coldplay. Don't panic. That's the title of the song as well as what I was saying. In fact, I was just saying the title of the song, if I'm being honest, making it sound like it was Conversation, XFM 104.9. It's the Ricky Gervais Show with Steve Merchant.
Thanks.
You were going to tell us a little story about
just
a Volvo
Estate. Just passed my test.
Yeah.
My parents had a big Volvo Estate, and there's quite a big car to drive.
My parents didn't have a car.
But I know you don't drive cars, Rick, but it's quite a big car to drive if you've just passed your test.
It's safe, though, isn't it?
It is very safe, that was the thing.
Yeah.
And I come from the West Country, obviously. There's quite a lot of windy lanes.
No, you're joking, do you?
They have cars there.
Well, here he comes. Blimey, Carl.
Learned on a tractor, automatic it was.
Do you want me to tell it or not?
Oh! Don't do about the accent! Oh, no, I'm not a word, oh, go on.
Oh.
Go on.
So I went to this party.
You never got him being from the north.
Not when he's telling an anecdote.
He's never telling an anecdote.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
Yeah, go on.
So I went to a party, and I was quite excited, because I had the car, I had the motor, and there was a chick heading down to the party that I was, like, you know, I had my eye on. And yeah. I thought, you know, now I've got a car, and going to the party, it's going to be amazing, right? And various friends had said, like, can we get a lift? I thought, yeah, groovy.
I'll pick up
the chick as well, who's a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
So cruising down to the party in the motor, you know, the Volvo estate, and there's nothing sexier than that. You know, slipping a little bit of Billy Joel on the stereo or whatever, something classy.
Don't go changing.
Exactly. And maybe it was Billy Ocean.
Maybe it was Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car.
Ideally.
Yeah.
So I get to the party, and inevitably it was one of those house parties where the chick that I had my eye on, she kind of was chatting to other guys, and she wasn't really paying attention to me, and I was sort of...
Found out to get, was she again?
Same old story.
They know how to tease, don't they, the ladies? Who are they kidding?
So I'd follow her like a dog, you know, from room to room.
Yeah.
And watch
quite
her
quite literally. Sometimes he was barking.
Yeah. And while, you know, just watch her while she talked to other blokes. And then, obviously I wasn't, because I was driving, I wasn't drinking, so I was not really enjoying myself. And then somebody said, should we go and pick up Vera? And I thought, right, okay. And they went, Steve's got a car, let's all leap in there, we'll go pick up Vera. Mm. And this girl was like up for it as well, so I thought, brilliant, you know, I'll be back in the car with her, you know, away from all these lads.
Yeah.
One guy she had her eye on, he came as well, I was a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was in the car, so I'm driving down these country lanes, just driving along, and they're directing me, they're saying, go left here, go right. And then suddenly, we stop, and one of them goes, just drive into that field, this pitch black field, right? And I'm sort of, well, it is my parents' car. Just drive in the field, Steve. I'm thinking, well, I don't want to, like, not seem like I'm a hard, cool, crazy kind of guy, because the chick's in the car. So I drove the car into the field, they all leapt out, started running off into the darkness, shouting, Vera, 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 where are you? So I'm just sort of sat there in the car, waiting.
Wasn't Vera Lynn, was it? Because she likes to hide in fields.
Bizarrely, it wasn't.
Right.
It was just, I was just left in the car on my own with Billy Ocean, and suddenly, out of the darkness, they come back holding a Vietnamese pot-bellied pig that they had stole from a nearby farm.
Stole
and they knew that the pig was called Vera because someone knew the farmer or something. Anyway, so they got this pig. So now they're going, "Oh, put the pig in the back of the car. We'll take it back to the party. It'll be hilarious." I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure I want a pig and all its, you know, piggy crap in the car, right, crammed in there. But they say, "Yeah." So obviously, I'm thinking again, I don't want to look like I'm, you know, a nerd. You know, I'm terrified of that, Rick, ever having.
So you go, hey, bring the pig into the car.
Exactly. I'm no nerd. Exactly.
Yeah, go on.
So now we drive off again. I've got this pig kind of screeching in the back of the car. And they say, stop again, let's do some cow tipping. And they do that old thing, you know, about the fact because cows sleep standing up, don't they? So you can push a cow over and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're having a wild time, hilarious. So this time, now we get to a sort of dead end in the road. And they say, well, turn around, let's go back to the party. And I'm thinking, fine. Try and do a 3-point turn in this very narrow country lane, right? Get the Volvo estate wedged horizontally across the road. Can't get it out, just can't seem to sort it out. I don't know what, I'm panicking because there's a pig in the car, right? And local disgruntled farmers, right? People drunk, partying, probably off their head on some kind of weed, Rick.
Well, was it loads of blokes with, like, pitchforks and flaming torches
exactly.
Going, burn him. He's playing with our pig.
Exactly that. And so, that, do you know, I was so terrified that all I could think was they're going to have to send a helicopter to lower a magnet onto the top of the car to lift the car up and put it the right way around.
You used to read a lot of comics, didn't you?
Yeah.
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 So, do you know what I started doing?
What?
Crying.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why?
So started crying, just very slightly, started getting upset. And the other guy that the girl fancied, he had to get into the driving seat and sort it out for me by edging forward
so
and backwards.
That's the worst bit of the whole story.
Yeah, edging slowly back and forwards. He just sorted it out, just slowly, worked the car back round, and then we were off.
You're just gently weeping.
Just gently weeping in the back.
The bloke had just taken the bird that you saw from a distance.
Exactly.
That was basically your wife in your head by then.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't it? I can't believe it.
We were happily married with a pig for a child.
Don't joke, that could happen.
I know.
The pigs come, if you like.
Sorry?
What?
What did you say? What did you say?
When you do what, Carl?
What did you say? No, what did you say? Because I don't want to have to go to the Radio Authority again. Did you say then?
We are going out live, Carl.
Yeah, remember Tom Binns, right? What did you say?
What I'm saying is, why were they shouting Vera? Because pigs don't come to the name, do they?
Hey? I don't know the ins and outs of pig, you know, of how to lure a pig into your trap.
Can I just tell you some very, very interesting things about pigs?
Please do.
Right. One, they have, everyone knows they have a corkscrew-shaped penis, right?
Yeah, a corkscrew-shaped penis. Yeah. That's the tail, isn't it?
Two, they can't look up. They can't put their head back and look up, right? Three, they can have a 30-minute orgasm.
Rick, is it only pigs that have got a corkscrew-shaped penis?
No, and landlords.
Okay.
Very handy. Right.
Here's one for you.
Go on.
Like insect facts and stuff.
Go on.
If a man was a flea...
He could jump over St. Paul's Cathedral.
No.
What?
Wrong. It's gone up now. It's... the big wheel. The big wheel.
It's the Millennium gone up wheel. Now. It's gone up now. Play a record. You're the best. Ash, there's a star on XFM 104.9. Now, Steve.
Yes.
Carl text messaged me in the week, very excited, because he just watched a programme that proved me and you were stupid. Remember when we sort of championed the anti-supernatural?
Yes. Skeptical view.
We're just absolutely skeptical about things like that. We're atheists, we don't believe in ghosts, anything like that, anything supernatural. We're followers of James Randi, a genius of our times, but Carl saw something that proved us wrong. I'd like Carl to tell you what this proof was, what he saw it on, and look at him. Go on then.
It was on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I was watching... you see, the problem is I didn't get the full story, so you could pick holes out of it.
Sure.
Unlike your usual investigations into the supernatural.
Which are thorough.
It was called... Can I just tell you what the programme's called?
Mr. Exorcist.
Oh, brilliant.
So...
Sounds like an academic work to me. Yes,
the bit that I caught, I just flicked it over, sort of seeing what's on the telly, and I thought, oh, Exorcist, I've seen it, but there's nothing else, and I watch it, and then I realised it wasn't the same thing. Yeah. Oh, I'll have a bit of this. And there was an old woman... And a daughter, and as far as I was aware, the bit I picked up on, they were saying, oh, you know, it's dreadful, and unless you've been through it, you know, you've had ghosts in your house and that, you really don't know what it's like.
Yeah, sure.
And the main thing that seemed to be getting them down was the fact that the budgie was getting stressed.
The budgie was getting stressed?
Because animals can sense the other side, can't they?
Can they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
And how was that manifesting itself? You don't know. What was the budgie doing?
I think it just wasn't happy.
Right. did it explain that to people, or
no,
how did
know,
it express that?
I mean, budgies are known for being chirpy, aren't they?
I see, and it wasn't chirpy.
It normally swings on its little perch and that. And
it's just depressed, because it was right. Possessed.
It was just sat around in its pyjamas.
So
No. Come on, so Steve. Come on, Steve. You're making this a mockery. So the budgie was depressed because he could sense the ghost.
Yeah, and yeah. Then, so yeah. This yeah. This guy, yeah. This Mr. Exorcist came round.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he a priest or something?
Yeah, he might have been.
Yeah.
Like I picked up. Did he have a black coat with a little white collar? Yeah. That's usually the...
He had his coat on, so you couldn't tell.
No, I'm sure. Okay.
But, so he came round and he sort of did his thing. Yeah. Was
he trying to exorcise the budgie?
No, the ghost. House.
Right,
the house,
so it wasn't the budgie had a demon or anything.
No.
Okay.
No, this wasn't a possession, was it? This was a straightforward... It wasn't a poltergeist or anything, it was just a...
Well, it's a haunted house.
Yeah,
but sure. that's the thing he was saying. He was saying you can have, like, your ghouls and that aren't that bad, that aren't going to cause you any problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, the budgie, they've got weak hearts and that, haven't they?
And sure. So
anyway, basically, he sorted it out, did whatever he did. And the next shot you see is, like, the budgie making a noise and swinging
it out
over the moon again. And the old woman was, like, happy because she was
getting stressed.
She
couldn't believe her luck, yeah.
And that's
The priest didn't come in and go, well... You should feed that bird. Give it a bit of millet. It was happy. It goes, right.
Nice.
See you later. No. It was a toast.
Budgies are, my mum's got a budgie. And they're fairly happy all the time, aren't they? So it's got to be something fairly odd. Right.
You never see a budgie sitting down going, I feel locked up in myself, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though?
No.
Do you know you can have, like, a moody dog? You can see a dog when it's unhappy, if it's walking down the street.
You can have a moody canary, can't you? And what they do is they often tell the police what you've been doing. They're known for that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, basically...
So that, for you, is proof that the supernatural exists. A bird in a cage got a little bit annoyed, wasn't chirping as much as it normally did. Who knows why? There could have been a little draft up its... You know, and
Croaker.
Exactly.
That's
anyway,
a medical term.
Anyway, a man came in and did whatever he did.
Yeah. Mr. Exorcist, though, Steve. This wasn't any bloke off the street. This was Mr. Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and for you, that's the proof that there's
just because, like, if it was a person, you go, oh, they're playing up for the camera.
Yeah.
You know,
a budgie could possibly act like that, Steve.
Yeah. I see what you mean. You're saying a budgie would not be trying to. It wouldn't be trying to become famous.
No.
Or just
not
get on
like
telly.
Not like Lassie.
No. Sure.
It was basically a show off.
Yeah. So, or Champion the Wonder Horse.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think...
I've changed my tune, Rick. I don't know about you.
I have, and I think we should play a record.
I'd love to get Mr. Exorcist in. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Never dabble with things you don't understand.
Sorry.
Like women. See what I did there?
He's turned that back on me.
Boys and girls.
Girls and boys. Embarrassed yourself.
Blair. Girls and boys there, Steve, on XFM 104.9. So, it's not so bad, really, because we didn't plan the thing, you know.
We
proved the supernatural. We were wrong about that.
Well, I just one other question. Was there anything else in this woman's house that led her to believe that there were ghosts, or was it just the fact that, you know, Tweety, or whatever his name was, wasn't chirping?
You see, this is the problem. I was watching UK Style. I was watching something on that.
Right. What were you watching on that?
It was, do you know, it's not changing rooms, it's like that, but cheaper.
Quite seriously, right, you might be the most interesting man in the world. I'm fascinated by it. I'd like to follow you, I'd like to have a hidden camera on you, I can ask you any question. You know, I'd like to have you in a cupboard in my flat. So I wonder what Carl thinks of that. And I'd just throw some at you, and you'd, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's what my dad did. Just kept me in the cupboard.
You know what I mean, though? Yeah. I wonder what Carl would.
You're
think
never
about
stuck
this.
For a conversation point if Carl's around. That's what's genius about.
He's always got an opinion. He's got an opinion about everything.
Yeah.
It's
I love the fact he was watching UK Style without a shadow of irony.
Yeah. No, that's what I like about him.
Exactly.
I wouldn't like it if he was trying to be.
No, he's not.
Kitsch and stuff. I like it because he's down the line, straightforward, no nonsense. Yeah. This is what I like. You know what I mean? He's going to be sort of like Jeffrey Boycott, Dickie Bird when he's about like 60 or 70. He's going to get on a bus and go to the driver somewhere. You need an haircut. You look like a scruffy get. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's going to be a great old bloke that you.
Genius.
He doesn't get chinned in the pub.
Yeah.
Right. People protect him. You know, because he's like 70 or something. But it's great. You're looking forward. You're actually in that nod. That nod went. I can't wait to be 70.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Mm.
Can I make a suggestion that we just get people? They can email in just questions or comments they'd like to hear from Carl. Maybe they just want to know his opinion on the Afghanistan situation.
Yeah, like
or
you know, like
last night's Coronation Street, whatever.
Yeah, like they do it. You know, in the NME or imagine that coming up to the election, they go Billy says Labour. Ooh,
yeah.
Carl.
I think the Sun has White Van Man. Each day they interview a guy who drives a white van, see his opinions on various topics. Carl is very much our white man van. White man van.
Yeah.
So any query you have...
I think most of our listeners are,
any opinion that you would like to hear voiced from the K-Man, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk, or you can phone in. I forget what the number is.
0800-800-1234.
Sweet.
Now, it's time for our first regular feature of the day. That film sounds good.
That film sounds good.
I stopped the film reviews because I've done all the films that are 9 or 10 out of 10. I don't want to drop my standards.
Absolutely.
This is a feature where it's a soundtrack of a film where I like a single from it. I might want to see the film, might have seen the film. Today is our first request.
Right, interesting.
This is for Martin, who wants to hear Live in the City by Stevie Wonder.
Genius.
And it's from Jungle Fever.
Let's hear it.
Well, I love the song and I love the film.
Classic.
Living for the City.
Genius.
Stevie Wonder.
The man's a god.
From the film Jungle Fever.
Absolutely.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
Well, not to be confused with Living in the City, which I think is a Desiree track. So
now
never
you know,
did that.
Because you're a huge
but
Desiree fan.
We were grooving along to that. It's a great, not my favourite Stevie Wonder track. I actually prefer He's Mr. Know-It-All. But a great track. Oh, Stevie Wonder's just fantastic anyway. And during that, we just had heads down, we were just like, you know, just enjoying the moment. We said, turn it up, didn't we? We liked it.
Yeah.
Carl, just halfway through, she's looking at me, he's got a driving licence.
Yep.
I went, what? He went, he's got a driving licence. I went, yeah, just for his own land. I went, you don't need a driving licence for your own land. He went, you might be right. He said, who else is blind?
I remember hearing something. It was someone famous
who
shouldn't have a driving licence.
Well,
and they have. And I'm sure
a lot of people.
I'm sure it was someone who's blind. But you're right, it's a bit of an odd one.
It is, isn't it? No, but don't forget, this hasn't just happened, this is in your head. So you can't say that and go, isn't that weird, how did that happen? It's in your head, don't forget, at the moment. There is no proof
There's no
this.
Proof of that.
You can't say something and then go, isn't that strange? You said it.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? We didn't just see something happen out the window.
Yeah.
You know, do you see what I'm saying? Mm. What's in your head and what happened and all that? What are you thinking?
I'm just thinking. Who's that other fella?
Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Well, why would he have a driving licence? He's blind as well. I think it's the blind thing we've got a problem with. It's the idea of people who are blind driving cars that's maybe made us question that. I mean, Stevie may have a driving licence. I very much doubt that he's passed his test.
No.
He probably hasn't even... I mean, he could have done the theory one, maybe. But that's touchscreen.
And until Labradors actually are allowed on the Queen's Highway...
Exactly.
I don't think we'll see many blind people driving cars.
I might be wrong.
You might be, mightn't you? Oh, we hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Mm. You might be wrong.
Could well be
wrong. Well, there's a start. I fancy a bit of Ed Hardcore about now.
Well... Rick, you've embarrassed yourself because his name's Harcourt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just play the song, Carl. Just mop up this ugly mess. Still to come, loads of our other features, of course, including Hip Hop Hooray!
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club and Love Burns, XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
My name's Steve Merchant.
It's Carl, what's your name?
I press the buttons.
That's it?
Carl, I press the buttons.
Yeah! Oh, bless him.
People are loving the K-Man, aren't they?
They are. People are saying they love him. He's just, oh.
He is.
I think we've created a whole new Will McDonald.
I like to think so.
Yeah.
Carl!
Or Gordon the Gopher.
I used to have a show in Manchester.
Did you used to host a show?
Yeah, overnights.
What kind of things was it? What kind of stuff?
What sort of tip were you on?
Phone-ins and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You did a phone-in?
Not a proper one.
What did people phone in about?
No, they didn't. That was one problem. There was no phones. Go on.
No, just, you know, how things were going and that.
Problems? Were you like an agony uncle?
Kind of.
That's amazing. Imagine that. Imagine sending someone to Carl. You got problems? Is it delicate? We'll go to Carl Pilkington.
Hang on, looks like maybe there's some questions.
Oh, we've got a few questions here. What's Carl's view on...
Carl, what do you make of nudism?
Who's that from?
Let me just check who that's from.
There's a time and a place for it.
That's from, it's very difficult to tell.
That's great, you see?
There's a time and a place for it.
That is just brilliant. That is Dickie Bird. That's that sort of northern, confident soundbite. Time and a place for it.
There's a time and a place
for it. Would you do it, Steve?
Would I do nudism?
Yeah.
He's not allowed.
Not again.
It's not nice, is it, really?
No, it's not with Steve. He's not allowed on any National Trust land doing it because he's caused the death of millions of starlings.
That's true.
There was something on BBC Choice the other night. It's a really short show. I haven't seen it before.
It's not a bloke eating cup of soup and then another short show, like maybe someone cleaning their teeth with Colgate, and then a really short show. What was it called?
No, what it was about this old fella who, he's into nudism. And, he was saying he's done alright out of it.
Did he play volleyball a lot?
Yeah. He said he's done alright out of it because there's not many blokes who, are willing to go nude for modelling and that. And he's about 70, so it's not...
Is there much cry for that, do you think? Is there much demand for a 70-year-old
nude?
Right.
He's doing all right for it.
Sure. Good.
And, the odd thing was, you see...
He had a corkscrew penis.
He was, he was just, like, walking around on the main road in, like, a seaside town. And, and cars were...
See, that's not nudism, is it? That's mental illness.
Yeah, he's just a bit dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. I tell you, one of your favourite programmes, isn't one of your favourite programmes just that one with the hot air balloon? And it's
adventures.
Yeah,
you love that,
don't
you?
It just goes, it's like in Sydney, sometimes, and it's at a carnival.
His favourite programme when he was little, he used to watch it for hours, was that Little Girl by a Blackboard with two toys.
Yeah.
He used to love that, didn't you?
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Right, listen, here's something else I learned in the week, and we can use this if you want to give away the Incubus tickets.
Go on.
There's a problem.
Oh, there's some tickets to give away later. I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you what it is later. Go on.
Who?
I don't know. Yeah. We'll save it. It's a surprise. Okay. Go on, Carl.
Oh, have I ruined it?
No, go on.
Crack on, mate.
Yeah. It was a programme about the body.
Sure.
And what is it, right? Barbie doll. Why couldn't that be real?
Yes.
Play a record, Carl.
I do know the answer, actually, I have to say.
What do you mean, why couldn't it be real?
If the Barbie doll was, like, a real person...
Right.
It wouldn't work out.
If you do, this is what worries me.
I don't understand.
Why do you understand it?
Because it's one of those facts which I've heard in the past, but so therefore, because I know the answer, the question makes sense. But unless you know the answer, the question makes no sense.
Well, of course it does.
That's what's brilliant.
Is it worth using for the tickets, do you think? Is it that good?
It's not a real question, Carl.
I don't think it can count, really.
It can't be a real question.
Well, because it's like one of those things about, oh, a man went into a field and died. Why? You have to ask questions. You go, oh, because his parents didn't know. But, well, I've got a million explanations. Okay, she'd be hollow. Do you know what I mean?
He's right, actually. There, it is too vague. Why don't you give the answer, and then you'll understand what your question meant.
What was the answer?
She'd have to walk around on all fours, because...
physically, the proportions of Barbie could not be replicated on a real human woman, because she just couldn't have those dimensions.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
But that, you know what I mean? Yeah, same goes for Fred Flintstone. Do you know what I mean? His head's half his body. It's a cartoon.
All right. Don't have a go at Carl. He's the caveman. People love him.
Sorry.
God, you're going to alienate yourself.
I'd like some hip-hop, Steve, seriously.
Just laying into
it. I'd like some hip-hop, Steve.
We'll come up with a question. We're giving away some Incubus tickets later. Look forward to that. Yeah. It's time for Hip-Hop Hooray! This is from... Hey, this is from De La Soul's 2000 album, the current one, Art Official Intelligence, Mosaic Thump.
Yeah, they've changed a bit, haven't they?
They have, and a lot of people have dismissed De La Soul, but there's still some tracks you can dig out.
Not as jazzy, but this is a soul tip to this show.
This is a wonderful track. This is With Me. Play it, Carl.
Alive. P.O.D. or pod.
Absolutely.
As I call them.
Yep.
On XFM 104.9, a bit of rock.
Who are you?
I'm Ricky Gervais.
Steve Merchant here.
Yeah. Carl over there. Now listen, there's a bit of rock there.
Yep.
Takes us into a competition. We got Incubus tickets to give
Incubus,
away.
Incubus, you say?
Now, I like Incubus.
Okay.
I mean, for what they are, but, you know, I'm a bit worried about all this crossover, this new metal, and these people coming out that are a bit like Pearl Jam and a bit more this sort of... Oh, I'm not too sure about it. Okay. I'm still not convinced, but Incubus have got a bit of style about them. You know the competition we just ran there, the phone-in, ask Carl and thing? People were phoning up, one person said, what do you think about new metal? Carl just quick as fast went, I hate it.
Exactly.
And he threw a question right back at them and went, do you listen to that in the morning? She went, yeah. He went, wow, you see, in the morning I like Ash. In the evening, I might listen to
I think he said Magic FM.
Yeah. But I love the fact that he is now, we've put him on a pedestal. He's happy with his own opinions. Before he was like, don't know. And now he wants to tell the world. He'd be down Hyde Park Corner tomorrow, won't he? And they're going, right, who wants to know what I think about, I don't know,
At 2 o'clock, I will listen to the Human League.
Today at 4:13, I had one apple and listened to Primal Scream. Thank you. Oh, no, you're a great bloke, Carl. We better stop now because, you know, we're going to make you into the new Jeremy
Spake. There'll be more from Carl next. But this is a very last question that someone... This is Jim. He's emailed in. He says, does Carl think that that Waterworld, Mad Max, Judge Dredd or similar films present an accurate portrayal of what a post-apocalyptic world might be like? How do you imagine what the world will be, Carl, when the bomb is dropped?
I've got no comment.
Okay, let's forget the films. What do you think the world might be like if there was, say, a nuclear war and we had to survive underground for a while till all the, waste went away and we could come up and we could eat fruit again and, it was all weird and we had to start from scratch?
I'd rather die.
Okay.
Okay.
Or right. You? Wouldn't you?
Well, supposing it was sort of like, you know, Britain was just, it was, all the buildings had gone, right, or there was some bit of scavenging, there was like, and we hid underground and we came out, you know, sort of, in 10 years' time. Don't keep shaking your head, you know, the question. You can go, no, rather die. And it was fine, you lived on tin fruit for a few years, right, then you had to come up and start again, you had to find other civilizations.
I'd want that thing that, is it Walt Disney had? Sort of...
Cryogenically
put me in
preserved.
A fridge thing and say, look, wake me up when it's all built again. Mm. I can't be doing with that, walking around with a hard hat on all day.
Yeah, what would you do? Set an alarm clock? You're the only person. Well, you get in a fridge and even know, if you find this, do not disturb till 2012.
You know what I mean?
No, but saying that wasn't... Well, I mean, what would you do first? You'd just come out, right, come out into the light. It was just like, you know, Saxon Britain. There was nothing. You'd have to start again. What would you do? What would you do first?
I'd probably go and see where I live now to see what's left of it.
I love how he thinks. Oh,
Carl, if you were the last man on Earth, right, and you had to have one other woman with which to start the human race again, right, and not your girlfriend, who would you start the human race again with? Which person would you want to? Bear in mind, it's not just like the fact that you've got to have kids. They've got to be able to provide something in this world. They've got to be leaders,
and they might be all melted. And
exactly. So their beauty may have.
They've just got one good eye, but now they can tell what you're thinking because of radiation.
Yeah.
They tried to go through a pod, and there was a fish in there for some reason in their Wellington.
Ooh. I mean, for me, probably.
And what would you rather kiss, a mermaid or a unicorn?
Carl, quickly.
Mermaid.
Why?
No, I want him to answer my question.
He's got a lady's face. Mm. Okay, then. What would you rather kiss, a lady with the body of a fish or the body of a horse?
A fish. Wouldn't you?
This is the best thing in the world. This is like, you know when you call a file a rude word, yeah, and then the computer goes, do you want to open tits? Yeah. You laugh, because it's like, that's what playing with Carl's sure. like. It's sort of like you input it, and you always get, you know what I mean? You yeah. sort of get...
You get more back than you bargained for.
Yeah. Oh.
Probably only because I've seen films, that one with that Hannah Darrell or whatever her name is in, and she looks yeah. all right. I've never seen Hannah a film Darrell, yeah. with a woman with a horse's body. Maybe if I've seen one, I might change my mind.
Can you email us a picture of a woman with a horse's body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ricky.Gervais at xfm.com.
Or do they exist?
Anyway.
Do you reckon unicorns exist, Carl?
No.
Nice. Look, let's play another song then, because I think we were going to give away some Incubus tickets. We seem to have got sidetracked.
Okay. Well, I'd like to play my song for the lovers. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed of this. It's an early Bowie track. It's his sort of, you know, version of Soul. It's off the Young Americans album, and it's a beautiful song called Can You Hear Me? David Bowie, at his best there.
Yeah.
Young Americans, Can You Hear Me? You said it when the record was on, Steve. You're not going to hear this sort of eclectic mix of music anywhere.
Anywhere else, Rick?
We go from hip-hop to soul, to hip-hop and soul, to soul-y type hip-hop.
And then some soul-y hip-hop hop-hop.
And Ash.
And the joy of it is, Rick, that if people are open-minded enough and broad-minded enough, as yeah. I hope our listeners are,
yeah.
they're going to be loving this.
And we played early Alton last
week.
We
didn't
care, Tyler. We don't care what he's done since or what he's like now.
We're not interested in reputation.
Rick. I don't judge. You know what I mean? If they
Rick,
do a good track,
can
then
I tell you this
let's
now.
Play that track.
I am not interested in what people think's cool.
No, obviously.
No, I'm interested in what people think is good, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah,
all
yeah.
right.
No, I'm interested in what we think is good.
I
Steve.
Don't care about what women think is traditionally handsome.
No,
I play by my own rules.
Yeah, exactly. You do, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not in it for their amusement.
I'm not in this game for anyone's amusement.
No. Obviously
right.
not.
Jeez.
Now,
and all these women with the I want to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have an orgasm.
Exactly. Hello.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now that was. David Bowie there. We've played some great tracks here, but we've got more to come, haven't we?
We have indeed, yes. Plenty more to come, Rick, but we're going to give those Incubus tickets
away. We've got our competition. Now, we were talking about people keeping an open mind. Now, our listeners have got open minds. They're not only open, they're blank.
Yeah.
They're, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
really?
Empty canvases.
From the
empty
ones that have been, yeah. From the ones that have been phoning up, I don't know how they dialed.
No.
I think they're wrong numbers or they sat on the phone or something.
Sure.
And a lot of old listeners are coming back.
A lot of people from the old days of XM. Yeah.
I don't know. They're obviously been allowed out.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, that's caring the community, Rick.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people
now
get thrown out of those homes or detox centres.
Yeah. I thought maybe an old question, something I'd explored 3 years ago,
what
4 years ago.
What excites me is the fact that, you know, clearly, all those kind of needle exchanges and things like that really helping people stay alive, and that's
sure,
a joy.
Sure, sure,
you know, that's,
sure.
That's evidence there on the phone.
Yeah. Now, what about this? Now, you know the answer to this. I've done this before.
Okay.
Right? There is one London station.
Rick, we've done this in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, you think I'm going to say St John's Wood?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
There is one London station that has no vowels.
That has no vowels?
No, it's not.
Oh, no. You've not thought this through at all.
It's one vowel. It's one vowel. It is one vowel.
So there's one London station with one vowel?
I can't remember the answer, though.
Oh, no, this is pathetic. This is so rubbish. I so want to be on someone else's show. Like, Camfield would be good, or just on, like, Dr. Fox.
We like Dr. Fox now, don't we?
Dr. Fox, he's amazing.
We like him. He's come through on that Popstars Tonight.
I love Foxy.
I like his little trunk. He's like a little trunk, and he works out, and he's got a bike and everything. But I like him. He's optimistic. He wears too much blusher, and I like his suits.
But it's the fact that it's like however hard he tries, he just doesn't look right on the telly. He just looks like a man who's been sewn into that suit.
I know.
So I tell you, when I saw him once riding here into Capital on his hog, on his Harley,
I was
such a joy.
Yeah. We like Foxy. What about Simon Cowell? Ooh. What about that Nicky Chapman?
Like her.
Yeah, what about who's the other one?
Oh, Waterman.
Waterman. Up and down
Waterman.
He's
a bit of a knob.
Wow, come on, you can say that, but he's sold millions of records.
None of this talking...
So's our price.
None of this talking is disguising the fact that we still not managed to give those incubus
away. Okay. What about this?
You got nothing, have you?
No.
Running on empty.
Yeah.
Play a record.
Hives there on XFM 104.9. Right, we've got a competition question. Steve's come up with it at the last minute.
This is just to check if you are a regular listener of the show.
Yeah, okay. We would like to reward loyalty.
Exactly, absolutely. So, last week on the show, Ricky described a story that happened to him back in the 80s when he was making his TV appearance on Razzmatazz with his band, and he had to fly out, was it to Newcastle?
Yeah.
And he tried to get on a plane, and a pop act of the 80s tried to help Ricky sneak aboard an aeroplane.
But failed.
But they failed to do it.
At the height of their powers.
And they were at the height of their powers. What was the name of that outfit?
Should we put them on the line?
Absolutely, let's hear it. There's the people there already. This is to win incubus tickets. Please do not be mental.
Don't be mental or swear or say anything libelous or nasty.
Yeah.
Just be nice. You won't win if you're not. Go on. Hello.
Hi, who's that?
Oh, I've got my headphones on, haven't I?
Put your headphones on, Rick. I'll just keep her talking.
Oh, no.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Okay, hello.
Hi. Hi there.
What's your name?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, where are you calling from?
Clapham Junction.
And do you know the answer?
I do.
Okay.
Is it Bucks Fizz?
It was indeed Bucks Fizz.
It was the Fizz. It was indeed the Fizz. Well, do you like Incubus?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, you see, if I was interrogating you, I'd go, you hesitated.
Yeah.
There's so many people phoning up who are desperate for these Incubus tickets. Please don't make
this
given to
you. To be fair, they're rightfully yours. Right,
I'll tell you what, I'll have a t-shirt if you give them the tickets.
Okay, is that just any old t-shirt, or...
No.
Can we send her a t-shirt? Carl's nodding.
Right, we can send you a t-shirt.
Right, we'll get you a t-shirt. How are you going to do that then, Carl? Because you've got to take her name and everything now.
You keep talking a minute.
Yeah.
This is pathetic.
This
wouldn't
amazing,
happen with Dr. Foxy. He'd have it
Foxy
all
wouldn't do this.
Can I say as well, his bank, the train station with one vowel.
Yeah, but there's loads, aren't they? He hasn't thought it through.
No.
Bo as well, there's many. Listen,
no.
Carl, they get over a number.
It can't have been that. I can't remember it. What was it? I remember I tried it the last time I tried
this
it.
This is a shambles.
And I couldn't work it out. Then there was wrong answers. I remember Aldwych came up. Maybe it's
right.
Aldwych. What's
Carl doing now?
Who's he talking to?
I don't know, he's talking to her, but what?
Say again?
Quick, let's think of something, come on.
Hello, are you still on this line?
No, he's picked up the phone now.
So what am I doing?
Don't shit, we're giving away, we're letting people behind the curtain. Let's keep up this veneer of professionalism.
This is so rubbish,
come
isn't
on,
it?
No, don't draw attention to it.
Okay, alright.
Let's just talk and make...
So, Steve, what are you doing tonight? Looking forward to Popstars?
I'm looking forward to a lot.
Who do you want to win?
I'm glad you've asked, Rick. I'd love to see Darius have a bit of success, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's probably going to be the Stutterer.
I think it is going to be Gareth. He has a name there, Steve. I think it's going to be Gareth, yeah. Apparently,
sure,
in the polls in the week, he's getting twice. We're back, don't we?
Okay.
All right, Carl. So she's getting a t-shirt, is she?
Lovely.
Right, who's that on the line?
Next contestant.
Hello? This is amazing.
An error?
I mean, we couldn't do this worse. Go on.
Exactly.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's Dan.
Dan, hello, Dan.
Danny.
All right,
so,
mate.
Do you want to go to Incubus?
I'd love to, man.
Okay. Hold on, this is pointless, because he's just heard the last... he's heard the answer.
Yeah, definitely Bucks Fizz.
This is mad! We didn't think this through!
No, but let's be honest, he wouldn't have been on the line if he didn't know the answer. Are you cheating?
No.
Dan, he said he's not cheating.
This is failsafe.
That's failsafe.
This is our rigorous... I can't believe this. Dan, you're going to Incubus.
Oh, cheers, man.
Well done.
Well done.
Oh. Nice one.
Thanks
cheers
for listening. Cheers. Carl, what do we have to do? Do we just hang up, or what happens?
No, you play a song and...
Play a song, then.
You've got his details.
Yeah.
Oh,
play
God.
It.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do.
yesterday. That reminds me of this Christmas where my 51-year-old brother wouldn't let anyone near the PlayStation 2 because he was playing Gran Turismo. And he has to build his car up and buy it. He just played it from about 6 o'clock till sort of 3 in the morning.
Was it really bought for him or
about three? I don't know, but we had to watch him.
Why that song particularly?
It's on it. Oh, I think Feeder feature all over it, don't they? On the soundtrack, yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
I was on the tube the other day, Rick. I was just coming into Finchley Road.
Yeah.
And I was on the train. I know you don't travel on the tube anymore.
Cause no.
Too famous. But
I never did.
No.
It's not that I don't know who you recognise. It's just it's beneath me.
Fair enough. And and they're on the tube in each carriage on these newer ones. There are kind of these flaps that are normally locked closed, and there was one of them that's swinging open. And inside there were various buttons like on off, you know, self destruct, whatever.
Yeah.
Seriously, like doors operating.
Train quicker.
Exactly. And you were thinking like you don't want some, you know, kind of oik sort of fiddling around pressing buttons and stuff. It could be quite dangerous.
Yeah.
So I got off a feature and I thought, I'll be a good commuter. I'll mention this to the staff and they'll probably, you know, they'll thank me for it. And if it's an attractive young staff member, you know, I mean, they never are on the tube. Have you ever seen an attractive member of staff at a tube station?
Oh, come on, steady.
They are such freaks. I mean, I know that's the pot kettle black.
They're all from Devon, apparently.
They're grotesque people, really.
All right, steady on.
And so anyway, I went up to this guy. I thought,
the uniforms don't out though, do they?
They don't. It's pretty grim. And so I went up to this guy. I said to him, excuse me, I just on a train there. And there's a flap open. I could see all these buttons and things. He went, right. I was like, yeah, well, I just think, you know, it might be, you know, wandering hands, a small child or something. Yeah. Right.
Small child?
He went, what carriage was it? I said, well, I don't really know what carriage it was. I just, maybe the next stop someone should come and check. He went, well, how are they going to check if they don't know what carriage it's in? And at that point, I just thought, I just wanted to smack him in the face. I just thought, you know, I'm in a hurry. I've got no reason. There's no gain for me about telling this. It's not going to help me out in any way, not financially, nothing. I'm just trying to help you out, and that's your attitude. And I was absolutely
livid. I know.
Livid.
I'm getting so intolerant in my old age.
I can't stand it.
Bad service, bad attitude, just, it drives me mad. It makes my blood boil, and
livid. I was one time, right, I was down in the centre of town. This was after some of the big explosions. The IRA had, you know, various things. And everyone was on kind of bomb alert, very nervous, very scared. And there was a sort of a bag in the street, you know, this was the centre of London or whatever, and my friends and I were a bit edgy, but a bit nervous. And we're outside this pub, and we saw the bag, and we thought, maybe we should sort of tell the landlord on that. So we told the landlord, right, and he came out, and he looked at it, he thought, oh, you're right, lads, it does look a bit shifty. And this is what he did. This was his security measure, right? He was going to call the police, but in the meantime, he picked up one of those sandwich boards that advertises what food's being served in the pub, just placed it over the top of it.
Yeah.
That's fail. So
that is what the bomb disposal unit use exactly. Very often. That you see them up and down Oxford Street. They're not people selling stuff.
Sure.
That's just there's
they
a bomb
will
shield.
Leap on a bomb.
Yeah.
But I love the idea because what we did was we moved about 100 yards down the road because we thought if the bomb goes off, we want to see it. That'll be dramatic.
Yeah.
We don't want to get injured. But I love the idea of like a sandwich board flying off into the air, and just embedding itself in someone's head.
Yeah. Well,
no
yeah.
one would have been injured.
Who do I sue?
That sandwich board.
Well, that was Ron, the landlord.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My God, is that Cumberland Pie for £5.95? I can't believe my luck. John, I think there's something more serious. Anyway,
paramedics going, I can't believe 99p a pint.
It's free.
I'm going to come back here.
So anyway, so listen, he calls the police, right? And so after a while, about, you know, it's like 40 minutes later, and I think the police do a good job. I'm not trying to be down on the police. I think it's a good job, and I respect the police. But this police van turns up after about 40 minutes of waiting, right? And this guy leaps out of the van, and he goes, what, you're the guys who reported this, are you? And we went, yeah. He went, right. And he looked at the bag, and he picked it up, he unzipped it, and there was just some rubbish in there. He just threw it at us. He went, there's your bomb for you, and threw it at us to teach us a lesson, and then got in the van and drove off. And it was like, what lesson are you teaching us about
being
good citizens?
You presumably reported him, did you?
Well, of course we're not asking at him, you know, it's not.
Do you know what I think? I think he thought it was a bomb.
Right.
And he was trying to blow you up to teach you a lesson.
Well, possibly.
That's bad. That is really bad.
It just winds me right up, stuff like that.
Once, right? Me and Bill, we had sort of, it was like 1983, and we had like extensions and cut off T-shirts and jeans and
sexy,
You know, like makeup. Oh, knew it, mate. And we were just eating chips on a corner, right? And it was a Saturday, so I assume it was like football patrol, about 12 police, and they got, and they sort of slowed down, and looked at us, and he wound the window down, and the bloke driving shouted, "You look like a couple of prats." Bill turned to me and went, "Is that an offence?" And I remember wanting to laugh at the joke, but thinking, that's annoying.
Yeah, of course.
That is annoying. They were right.
Well, yeah, but no, they were right.
It's not really a police issue, I don't think.
Someone called into HQ that morning. Guys, if you see anyone looks a bit, you know, the fashion British. Police.
We've heard a bit, there's a bit of a to-do. Apparently a couple of prats are walking round.
Yeah. We need someone to go on fashion police patrol.
Send in Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. Oh, dear. But, you know, we respect the police.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not having a go. It's just those few that give them a bad name, really.
Yeah, exactly. I think the boys in blue do a good job.
They do, and so the firemen.
Yeah, especially the firemen. I remember once, this is really embarrassing. This is the arrogance of youth, right? In a hall of residence, every time someone did toast, the fire alarms went off. I remember once it was like 2 a.m, and we all had to go outside, and it was just toast set off thing, but it was linked. And about 8 fire engines turned up, and they're all coming in, right? And I said, oh, this is so embarrassing, why am I telling this?
Go on.
I just went, there's enough of you.
God!
And the fireman right away said, he just went, shut your mouth, mate. Yeah. And I thought, oh, God, he's right. It's one of those things you remember 10 years later.
Yeah,
and
that's a horrible thing.
I know, but when you're 18...
I want to publicly apologise to the fire brigade.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Because I never did stuff like that.
Oh, that is twice.
I was too busy saying, can I try on your helmet?
Oh, dear. Oh, we better play another song, hadn't we? Oh, this is a great track. This is Groove Armada. It's from the album Goodbye Country, Hello Nightclub. It's the opening track. It's all called Sun Toucher. I think you'll like this, Steve.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Groove Armada there and Sun Toucher. Do you like that?
I didn't mind, actually. I didn't realise you were a Groove Armada dance music fan.
Well, no, Jane played that music today. I knew that before, but I loved it immediately. Yeah. It's great. It's like soundtrack mixed with a little bit of...
Sure.
Hip hop and it's all like a big mix.
Big melting pot.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wish that's what the world was, really. Everyone could live in harmony.
I wish it was an onion.
Oh, if only the world were a great big onion.
Yeah.
Oh well, maybe one day.
Well, this is nearly the end of the show.
Absolutely.
It's been Ricky Gervais on XFM 104.9 with Carl. And it's been a great show, and you know, there's been some laughter, there's been some tears, there's been some jokes, there's been some political satire.
I'd like to think so.
But above all, there's been some chat with friends,
and there's been some bloody great music. Let's not forget that.
I don't think we need to swear at this time.
It's late juncture.
Yeah, because you make yourself look a cock, and me look a twat,
That's true.
Look like a complete
song for ladies. Rarely do you get a chance to play on a radio station.
Nearly
7 minutes
wanker.
7 minutes worth of Led Zeppelin, but screw it. I thought, damn,
hey,
you know, it's the end of the show. We don't give a damn. It's an amazing song.
Be careful with the language. Screw damn and bloody. Do not a sermon make.
Rick, it's a beautiful song. If you're not a Zeppelin fan, stick with it. It's not roaring rock as you'd expect. The Rain Song from Houses of the Holy. See you next time.
See you later.